we grow up and we raise our kids up to do certain things. You hope they're going to follow your direction. And sometimes they, you know, take another road and go a different way. But you train them up right, they'll come back one day as the Bible teaches us. But there are all kinds of shades of what I call meaning and usage to the word of peace. And I want to try to relate that to you today. It is hostile and what I call, well, if I look at it this way, this hustle-bustle world that we live in. Because we're coming and going all the time. I know the pandemic slowed us down some. Amen? How many of you finally realized you had more than two rooms in the house? Huh? Bedroom, bathroom, sometimes the kitchen, right? That's what it is. But how many of you really slowed down and really thought about where you were and really looked at your life in particular? It's a nice thing to be able to take time off, but let me tell you what. To slow down like we did is almost what disaster, wasn't it? Because we couldn't do anything. We still got to watch what we do today, where we go, the things we talk to. But it's always a problem around us. But what really comes down to this is, as I look at it, is the fact, you want peace today? You want total peace today? Guess what? You will only have it through the relationship that you build in Jesus Christ. Nothing else but just through Him. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning about the Bible and what it says about peace. We can have peace with God. There's peace with God, and there's peace with other people. The problem is, what kind of peace did you have with God this morning? Do you have a bonding, lasting peace that can overcome anything in your life and give you the peace of mind that you need? Let's stand this morning in reverence to reading God's Word. We're going to look, first of all, chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 2. If we looked at the first part last week, we said, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Father in heaven, we are blessed to be able to come again today. And I do pray that we understand the importance of peace within. I have peace within because of Christ. I have peace because of what He's done for me. How He's lived His life, gave His life, Lord, and coming back again one day, that should give us great peace. But even in the turmoil of the world that we see, Father, we can overcome obstacles because Jesus is the overcomer. I ask a blessing upon the service today and upon our time that we'll use it wisely to learn more about you. In the name of Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. Most of you don't know, on the back of the bulletin where it's got the names of all the people that are sick, there's an outline of my sermon if you want to sit there. You may want to take some notes on that. I do that for your benefit. If you take time on Saturday night, after I do the bulletins on Saturday afternoon, you can always go there and find that, and you can always go through and review, you know, what I'm going to be talking about, you know, in the service today. I told a man one time in church many years ago, his name was Vernon Lee, he's with the Lord now, and he would ask me every week, what are you going to preach on Sunday? I'd tell him, you know. And he'd go home and study, and he'd come back to church on Sunday. If I preached, he said, I didn't get all that. He said, I don't know where you got all that at, you know. But isn't that the way it is, though? Sometimes we don't understand, you know, what the scriptures really say. You may get a little bit of it, but I want to try to give you a whole lot more of it. You may come to understand it even better. First of all, the Bible speaks about peace with God. My favorite passage of scripture in the Bible is Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my verse. I have peace with Him because of what He has done for me on the cross of Calvary. According to the Bible, because of sin in the world, lost man and God are at enmity. And in other words, it means you are fighting against each other. In other words, when you think about God today, what does God want from us? He wants us to be close, knitted to Him every day. An unsaved person is at war daily. Within themselves, the turmoil that's in them that's going day after day after day. And what does the devil do? He loves to stir up the turmoil within us. If he can stir up more turmoil day after day, what does he do? He'll keep you from focusing on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even for a lost person, just like a saved person, what does he do? He comes in and tries to usurp his authority over you and say, you don't have to listen to God. You're okay. Don't worry about anything. Let me tell you what. He did that to a lot of people. Still doing it today, and people are still listening to him. You have to understand that God's word is truth. The devil's word is all lies. Amen? All lies. He doesn't tell you the truth. But what he will do, he will turn things around to make it sound good. Sounds like a politician. itching to your ears, as they say, and we like itchy ears, right? Let me tell you what, if you listen to the truth of God's word, you can overcome the obstacles of the world and have peace within yourself if you just, what? Surrender to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah said it in 53:6. He said this, all we are like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. That's the world today. We're just like sheep. We go astray. You remember the 99? Well, he had 100. One went astray. And what did he do? He went after the one, left the 99. Why? Because that one was just as important as the 99 sheep he had there. Most of us today, we tell us just one sheep, let it go. But he didn't do that. Why? Because it was important that he had all the sheep accounted for. What about the Lord today? We are just like sheep, and we go astray very quickly, and we go down a wrong road. But there's one thing about the Lord. He will not let his children stay astray too long, because he will come look for you, he will find you, and he will put you back on the road that you need to be on. The fact is, we have to be submissive and surrender to him every single day and to live our lives according to his precious, precious word. And because of sin, see, I go back to this one word, God is at enmity with mankind, with the lost world that we're living in. And the Bible teaches that God is angry with one thing, and it's a word called sin. S-I-N. You got that? A little three-letter word? You wouldn't think that a three-letter word like that would cause so much problem, would you? Huh? You'd think it'd be a word about this long, but no, it's three little letters, S-I-N, sin, that has destroyed the world and is still destroying it today and destroying people's lives. Jesus said this in John chapter 3, verse 36. Now listen very carefully. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. If you believe on Jesus Christ right now, if you have him in your life, you have everlasting life. You have eternal life. Nobody can take it away from you. The devil can't take it away from you. The world can't take it away from you. I can't take it away. Nobody can take it away from you once you have everlasting life. But he didn't stop there. He said this, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now, you've got a choice here. Either you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, and you will have what everlasting life or eternal life, or you will believe not, and you'll spend the rest of your life in the portals of hell. The devil will be down there mocking you every single day. You had your chance. But you listen to me, and he'll be laughing at you. And you'll be in trouble because of it. You can't get out of there. Shall not see life. But he said, but the wrath of God abideth in what? On him, it says, or on her. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men. In other words, peace with God occurs when a sinner turns to God and is reconciled to him and understands that there's a better life with Christ than without Christ. Where are you at today? Do you have that peace within you because of Christ? Do you have that longing desire to be caught up in the relationship with him? You're not going to find the truth in the world we live in today. You will never find lasting peace until you meet the Prince of Peace, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that? You will not have peace in your life until you find the Prince of Peace, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first thing we have to realize this morning is this, that speaks of peace with God, and the only way to have that is to accept what Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. That's number one. The second thing is this. He said it very plainly, that we have to what? To have peace in the Bible speaks of what? Is to have peace of God. Now, the peace of God may abide, or it says, be declined by a lot of people. But inwardly, the Spirit of God fills you so that you can have that relationship. Now, if you're here this morning, you don't have God's Spirit living in you, that you understand one thing. Nothing. Because with Christ living in you, you can understand what God means by his word when he tells you to what? To be surrendered, to be submissive to him every single day. But without that, you don't understand what God's word teaches you, and you'll never live by it. The peace of God may define us as inward spirit of what I call tranquility, sereneness, and of hearts and minds, it says, that enables us to be able to come anything in the midst of trials and the troubles that we have in life. Because I serve the overcomer, who is Christ. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He gave you and he gave me victory. And because of that victory, I can live in a peaceful state within myself because of what Christ has done for me. But also, think about this. I read an interesting little illustration. I want you to listen very carefully. There were two painters. The first painter decided they wanted to paint something about peace. What was peace and tranquility? Well, the first artist, this is what he did. He got his canvas. out about it, you know. But there was a bird that had made a nest on a limb over this waterfall. And you think to yourself, why in the world would the bird want to make a nest over a waterfall? Well, see, the nest was there because it was a time, it was a place of protection for the bird as she was brooding. They talked about her eggs, sitting on the eggs, okay, and comforting those eggs. Well, the thing was this. The bird knew one thing. That being in that tree and on that limb over that waterfall, that the predators were not going to come up on that tree and try to get the bird. So what does it show you a picture of? It also shows you a picture of peace that the bird had, even when the time was rough and there was pain, there was the what I call the turmoil around her. She did not let the turmoil, other than the peace that she had, raising those chickens or those little eggs for those birds, right? That gives you peace also. So when you're going through a difficult time, don't always look for the tranquil water that's calm. Think about the times when you're going through over the, what I call over the cliff, you know, the raft or whatever it may be, you know, the waterfalls or anything else. Remember that you can still have peace because God walks with you through the waterfall. He walks with you through all the turmoil of life. And he does that because he loves you. And he wants to build a close relationship with you. Now, when I looked at this, I thought to myself, in the midst of trial, you can have that peace. But how many people really are looking for peace? How many people are like weary wards? How many of y'all are weary wards in here? Okay, that's sin. Amen. And the rest of you didn't raise your hand, you're lying to yourself. God knows. Lying to yourself. We have problems. People worry all the time. And why is that? Because we think that it's great to worry. Let me tell you what. If you live by what the Bible talks about, Galatians 5:22, it says this, that we are to what? Have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you got the fruit of the Spirit in you, what is that? Love? Joy? What's the third one? Peace? What? Peace? All right, that's somebody having to read that. Peace? Everybody? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, temperance, and all this other good stuff, right? Why does he tell us that? Because there's love. When you have love, you have joy. When you have joy, you have peace. You know, and that's what he tells us. We need to have a peaceful attitude about ourselves. We need to have a peaceful disposition about ourselves. And we can do that. Because we can overcome whatever's out in this world today. Because in the midst of trials and troubles and all the turmoil around us, I can look to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Even though I'm going through this, I know what you're going to do for me. You're going to make it peaceful. I'm going to make it to the other end. And when I'm walking over that waterfall, I know I'm going to get to the other side for one reason. Because you're walking hand in hand with me. You remember old Peter on the boat? Remember Peter? I always loved Peter. You know, we talked about it a little bit this morning. I won't mention your name, okay? But we were talking about him this morning. But the fact is this, when you think about Peter, Peter was the type of person, you know, he was a guy that would stand up, oh, yeah, you know, I'm Peter, man. You know, that's him. That was Peter. He had the hoof and mouth disease. I mentioned this before. He would open his mouth and he answered his big foot. And you all ever do that? You ever notice when you get in there, it's hard to chew on that leather, isn't it? You know? Sure it is. But the fact is this, when he saw the Lord walking on the water, everybody got afraid. The Lord said, it's I, right? He said, well, let me come unto you. And all of a sudden, what did Peter do? He jumped out the boat. Boy, he was just bad. I can see him now. He's big and bad. Right? I'm the man. I'm going. You know, I'm the leader here. I got to show him up, right? So here he goes, right? He's walking on water. And all of a sudden, it says, the wind got what? Voices around. The waves were around. He wasn't like the birds, see? He took his eyes off of Jesus. And he looked at the situation around him. And the first thing out of his mouth was this, Lord, save me. And what did the Lord do? Did he get over there and push him on down in the water and say, oh, no, he's going to go a little deeper? No, he didn't do that. What did he do? He reached down and took him by the hand. And there's Peter. The Lord saved him. When you're sinking in the muck and mire of the world, just remember this. He's there, you're here. All you got to do is reach out. He'll reach down. But I always like the rest of the story. The rest of the story is this. They both walk back to the boat. Amen. Doesn't it show you when you walk with God, everything's possible? All things are possible because of him. But what did he do? He took his eyes off the Lord. That's our problem today. We take our eyes off the Lord. Now, when you think about peace with other people. Now, I know that's hard sometimes, isn't it? The Bible says love one another. Okay? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. Amen? So that's why I tell people when they get married, I always look at the man and I say, I want you to remember one thing. But really, it's two things. be happy or right, that's up to you. Learn the word yes, dear, okay, and you'll be okay. That's what you got to do. Now, my grandson's getting married in December. That's one of them things, you know. I talked to him the other week, and I said, I want you to remember one thing, son. He said, what's that? I said, you can either right or happy. He got real quiet on the other end of the phone. I said, if you don't know what that means, I said, you need to learn to say yes, dear. Then he laughed a little bit. I said, just remember granddaddy's words. Because they will come back to haunt you one day. Amen. So, things are true. So we look at this thing about other people. Hebrews 12:14 exhort. It says, follow in peace with one another or with man. You know, it's hard sometimes to really reach out and love everybody, isn't it? Amen? Be honest with ourselves. You know, honesty, right? Sure it is. But we are to strive for perfection. We're to strive to love one another. We're striving to hold one another together. That's what we do in the body of Christ, in the church itself, is to share the love with one another. That's what God wants us to do in our relationship that we build with Him. Peace doesn't come by our own strength, my strength and power. It comes by having what I call a close relationship, fellowship with God, and being selfless, my friends, and helping others, and not being self-centered, thinking you're better than anybody else. Amen. That's the way we should live. That's the life we should live. That should be an exciting life that we should live. And you can do that. You say, well, preacher, that's hard. No, you can do that. We've got to get away from this thing as Christians saying, that's too hard to do. Nothing is impossible with God if He's number one in your life. Nothing. The Bible says nothing is too hard for God. And it's true. I think of myself. I said, I got saved when I was 38 years old. I think to myself, nothing's impossible with God. Amen. You know? I can say that about me. Look at yourself. Where were you at when you got saved? What was your life like? Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. Still not. But we strive for perfection in a relationship with ourselves and with other people, the Bible teaches us. And also this fellowship we talk about today, that we should be daily filled with God's Spirit, and it cannot, my friends, be manufactured. It has to come directly from God. We can make a lot of things in this world, but you can't get what God's got unless you go to Jesus Christ for salvation. Have the Spirit fill you. Alright, that's my 3 points. Now, I'm going to give you application this morning of what you need to do with it. Some of you say, uh-oh, here it comes now, right? Amen? So when you think about the application of life today, peace with God, peace of God, and peace with others through God. First, let us think about this for just a minute. The New Testament, we as believers are what we call to love one another again. I'm going to talk about this back, first of all, when I was getting near the end of it. It says this, we are to honor one another, serve one another, accept one another, bear one another's burdens, build one, he said, one another up, and many other commands in the Word of God. But the first thing is this, can I do that? Yes, you can. Can I accept other people that I don't like? Yes, you can. God didn't like you when you didn't like Him. He loved you. See that? He didn't like you. He loved you. So if He loved you and gave you a new life and a new beginning, can't you take that love and share it with somebody else that may be less desirable than you think they should be? That's what the Bible teaches us, to reach out to all people. And it makes no difference who they are. You know, He says in the Bible, you know, we sing the song, you know, He loves the little children of red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. See, we are all created in the image of God. I don't care what color you may be, what flavor you may be, whatever it may be. We're all created in the likeness of His image. That's what it comes down to. We all have what? Red blood in our veins, amen? We're all cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that was red too. He gave that to us so that we could what? Walk the walk and talk the talk like we should, but we have to be in God's Word to do that. The Word of God, my friend, is to treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. So however you treat people, most of the times how people are going to treat you. Don't look down at people. Lift people up. Love people. Care about people. Share the relationship. Also, it says this, too, in this text, in James 3:17. And I want you to just turn with me to it. Because you look at James 3:17, I mean, he lays it all on the line in these few verses I'm going to give to you right here. When he said this, James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, hear that? Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without a whatsoever things, he said, are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace, what does it say? Shall be with you. Amen. I love that verse because the last part tells me what I want to hear. The love of Christ will be with me. Well, in Philippians, you look at this passage, think about a couple of things. First of all, he says this, stop worrying. Stop worrying about things today. Paul says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. In other words, be careful, he says, has the meaning of this. He says, be full of care or full of worry. You got your choice there. You can be full of care or full of worry. What are most people full of today? Worry, W-O-R-R-Y. We're worried to death. Well, I'm so worried. I'm so scared what the nation's going to do. I'm so scared of the election coming up. I'm so scared I'm going to trip off this platform and hurt my little head. I don't know, but I'm always afraid or worried about something. Amen? We do. We worry so much. But when you get caught up in worrying about something, you don't have time to look at anything else. We should say it this way. Do not worry about anything. I'm going to write that down. Do not worry about anything. Because what does it do? It causes problems. It can cause people to have heart attacks, to have stroke, to do all kind of crazy things when you're worried. Why? Because you're not focused on the right thing. You're not focused on the one who can help you through the situation. How much time do we waste on worry? Huh? How much time do you waste on worry? Do you sit around and just twiddle your thumbs like it's worrying about things, huh? Is this what you do? That what we do? Sure we do. And as you go so far this way, you reverse and go the other way, right? That's what you do. The fact is, we have to get back to God. It only makes sense, my friends, if you understand something. You do not have to be miserable in the life that you live. You don't have to be miserable. But, you know, I see so many people that are miserable. And people like company, amen. Have you ever talked to somebody that's really miserable? You can be so upbeat, you're feeling so good within yourself, you got all this peace about you, you know, you got this glow about you, you feel good. And you talk to one person, and before it's all over, you're miserable. Oh my gosh, look at the problems that person's got. And before it's over with, you're caught up in their problems. You're caught up in everything they're doing. Instead of trying to help them and say, look, there's better things. You don't have to be this way. You don't have to act like this. Because if you knew who I knew, if they don't know Christ, and if they do know Christ, you need to tell them you forgot about who loves you. Who will help you every single day, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it only makes sense to keep you what? To keep your eyes on Him and get away from the misery and turmoil that you get into sometimes. Amen? Good. They're just waking this morning. Why is it we make it difficult? Well, it's the one thing. Worry, listen very carefully, leads you. Worry leads you nowhere. You're not going anywhere. I'll give you an illustration. You'll like this. How many of you got a rocking chair in your house? How many of you got a rocking chair? Recliner that rocks. Well, see it? Got it? Got it? Think about it this way. You sit in that rocking chair and you just rock yourself away. You whistling Dixie, whatever. Guess what? 30 minutes later, you're in the same place and you've gone nowhere. Amen? That's what worry does for you. It gets you nowhere. The rocking chair won't get you anywhere. You'll just sit there and rock away, you know. You think you're doing something, but you're not. You're not going anywhere. Sad, isn't it? Isn't that how we live today? How many of you got those machines that you get on and you run and walk on? How many of y'all got those? You got one of them? You got a person in front of you? If you don't? Okay, just for you. How many's got one got the face on the front? People tell you how to do something. You know? My son got one of those things. I didn't figure why I got it. He don't use it. You know? But I like it on TV. And you know, when you're on TV, you see the man over here and the woman over here, and they got the big windows, you know? And they just going to town like crazy, right? Man, they're running and they're going as hard as they can go. And the person will say, row, 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 row. You're going like crazy, and all of a sudden it's all over with. And where are you going to? Nowhere. Where it does that to you, it takes you nowhere. It takes you on a dead end street. That's why you got to get away from it. You want victory this morning? You can have victory. You can have victory in Jesus. That's what you can have with songs that we sing over and over again. Another thing is this. To experience what I call the peace of God, we need to turn your what? and be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication, and in what? Thanksgiving. Prayer. We have to become more prayer warriors. We need to be prayer warriors. That's what we need, to pray for what God would want us to do. Anybody remember Henry Blackaby and his book called Experiencing God? How many of y'all ever took the study? You ever took the study? Oh, wow, this is going to be good. I guess I'm going to have to pull it out and do a study, right? Maybe that'll be the next one. That's a good study after we do John, right? First, second, third John. That'll be a good study. But Blackaby said this. Now, listen very carefully what he had to say. He talked about discouragement. He said, in his book, he said, as you no doubt have discovered, becoming a Christian does not make your problems go away. You hear that? Doesn't make them go away. No. But it does give you an advocate to whom you can take every concern, he said. I like that. Your problems don't go away, but you have someone that you can take your concerns to. And who is it? God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And how true are these words? Even the famous song that we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. I know when you sing it, you're just babbling a bunch of words. Amen. But what does it say in the first stanza? It says this. I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to sing it, but it says this. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then he says this. Oh, what peace we offer forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You hear that? What did he say? You got problems because you don't pray about it. You got problems because you don't look to God about it. And we're singing in a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Have you ever really listened to yourself when you sang a song about what a friend we have in Jesus? We dragged this thing in a ditch. And it would take Billy and his record truck to pull us back out of it. It was so far in the ditch. You know? We get stuck on doing things without being uplifted anymore. If we just go through the routine or the motions that we say, okay? I remember telling you many years ago, and I've said this before, my grandmother had that saying about going through the motions. And you've heard it, and I'll say it again. If you've heard it, just act like you have. My grandmother, bless her soul, when she was living, I always liked to go to grandma's, you know. And grandma always had the best soup, amen. They always made the best soup. Mom could not make the soup like grandma could. I hate to say it. But I'd go up there, and she'd be cooking in the kitchen. You know, here she's 90 years old. She's in there on that whole hot stove, really cooking. And we'd go sit at the table, and she'd look at me, and she'd say, son, we don't have much. But we're going to go through the motions anyway. Amen. That's what we would do, you know, but she had plenty. The fact is, we just go through the motions. We don't really enjoy what we're doing. Now, I went through the motions of sitting at that table, but I enjoyed that soup. Amen. I had a smile from here to here because it was Grandma's soup. Well, if you're going to feast on God's Word, my friend, you should remember this. You're feasting on the best meal that's ever been prepared for you in this universe. God gave His Word to us to feast on, to love it, and to bear it in our hearts today. Now, Isaiah 26:3 says this. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, he said. Well, what did he just say? I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is what? Stayed on me, he says. Now, listen to this part. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And even Paul added this in Romans 8:6. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded, he says, you have life and you have peace. In other words, you will never have peace in your life when you are disobedient to God, when you walk away from God, when you ignore God, and you just turn yourself and your heart away from Him. So where's the problem at lie today in our world that we live in? Centered in God's people, not doing what God's people need to do. See, we have to wake up. We have to listen up. We need to look up to see who's still on the throne, who's still giving us life and abundant love. forsaken assembly of yourselves together as a matter of some is. In other words, if you study, it talks about provoking others. Now let me say this very clearly to you. When you provoke somebody to get angry, right? He says, I want you to provoke people to have encouragement in their walk with me. That's what the verse talks about. We are to be encouraged by what God is doing for us and with us, okay? And even though we're going to be going through some turmoil here, we know shortly, and some things are not going to be the way everybody wants it. The fact is this, we are to love one another, to serve one another, to do good works for the Lord, as he says. But if you're going to provoke anything, provoke for encouragement, for surrender, for being together in a love relationship. In other words, Christians, you need to persevere. That's what you got. You got to persevere. You got to keep moving ahead and not stop where you're at. You see, we have a tendency to take 2 or 3 steps forward. I've said this before, and I'll say it till the day I die. We step forward and we take 15 this way. We don't know how to persevere and how to keep moving ahead and trudging ahead. I remember years ago when I was a weightlifter, and I did a lot of it too. And I used to wear these ankle weights. Anybody ever wear those when you were lifting weights to run? You ever did that? I used to do them because I wanted my ankles and all to be strong. Well, now they're as weak as kittens. I don't know why, but, you know, after the years, you don't do it. It does that. But I'd wear those ankle brakes for one thing. I used to like to run, and I'd run 5 miles a day. Sometimes I'd run 10. And what it did was when I took the weights off, these little hooks would get going. Boy, I want to tell you what, you had more speed than you had when you started. See? What does it do? It gives you more energy. It gives you that more strength to do something. We as individuals need to understand. We can be strengthened the same way by doing one thing. Putting on God's armor, putting on God's word, living by his standards every single day, and you will become stronger, and you will be able to overcome obstacles, and you will be able to encourage other people, because whatever you've gone through, you can encourage them and say, look, I've been through this. I overcame this because of you. So when you look at the word, think about it this way. It is a community endeavor for all of us in this church to be together in prayer and unity and togetherness. What did he say? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? We're afraid to come to church because of the pandemic. Let me tell you what. You can get sick at home sitting in the basement just as well as you can sitting in this church. Amen? Yeah. Okay, you're awake now. Why is it? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. As a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day of in other words, encourage others to stand fast in the faith. Don't waver in the faith. Because we, our friends, are to serve a risen Savior. He will be your judge. He will judge the world. He will have the last say. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Read it in Romans 14. Isn't that this morning? We didn't get to it. I think verse 11. That's okay. Every knee will bow one day. Every tongue will confess. He is Lord. You know, when I stand before God one day, I'm going to think about it this way. Because of the way my life was in the beginning, I should be standing here in front of you, Lord. number 480. Only trust Him. Stand together. Only trust Him. Stand together. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe whatever it is you need to do as the Lord may lead you.